The following podcast was made possible by the sponsorship of Teresa Leong Lee and by Catholic Digital Resources, where you can find downloadable faith formation resources and evangelization tools. Visit Catholic Digital Resources at CatholicDR.com to build your own faith and the faith of others. That's CatholicDR.com.
Good News Ministries of GNM.org presents Footsteps to Heaven. Life's a journey full of challenges. Sometimes we get stalled. Sometimes we get sidetracked. When we walk with Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit to the destination that God the Father designed for us, the results are better than we could ask for or imagine. And now, here is your host, Terry Modica.
Hi, how are you doing today? How's your prayer life? You know, these podcast episodes that I do on Footsteps to Heaven are designed to deal with the questions that many people struggle with. The questions that I often hear about in my ministry, my work in Good News Ministries. And I'd like to invite anyone listening to this to feel free to contact me through my website, gnm.org, to use a contact form to ask me a question that you would like me to deal with in an upcoming episode. Today's question is about intercessory prayer. Today's topic is intercessory prayer that really works. Because we all struggle with the question of, do my prayers really make a difference? How can I make my prayers more powerful? Well, let me start with this. Imagine you're driving down the road. What if you say a prayer for every person you see along the way? Every driver, every family in other cars, the man walking into the store, the people at the gas station that you pass by, everyone you see. Surely they all need your prayers, but would your prayers really make a difference? What about the people that you see day after day that you pray for regularly? You should be able to know if your prayers are making a difference in their lives because you can see what's going on in their lives. You'd be able to see the fruits of your prayers if they're working. Are you seeing enough fruits of prayers from the times that you are interceding for others? We all have people in our lives who need our prayers. And the strangers that you see only once, they too need prayer. Some of these people don't have anyone praying for them. Our prayers for them are important. As a matter of fact, vitally important in many cases, because no one else is praying for them. We could all do a better job of being prayer intercessors for others. But what I think holds us back is the lack of seeing enough encouraging fruits of our prayer efforts. The lack of seeing enough to motivate us to keep doing it and to pray even more often for others. The real stumbling block is not a lack of fruits or evidence that our prayers are making a difference, but a lack of understanding how intercessory prayer really works. Pause this podcast for a moment to say a prayer for somebody. Better yet, write it down because we are going to analyze it. Ready? A good example of how we misunderstand intercessory prayer is in the way we so often hear official prayers in church. For example, the common prescribed response to the prayers of the faithful during Mass is, Lord, hear our prayer. Or it's a common response in prayer group settings and other group settings of prayer. Lord, hear our prayer. The implication that unconsciously undermines our thought processes with this and unconsciously undermines our understanding of God's role in answering our prayers is that the Lord won't hear our prayer unless we ask him to. Lord, hear our prayer. Lord, please listen. Please hear our prayer. That's not the reality of what's going on with our prayers. To cure this misunderstanding that can unconsciously grow from this, we could change it to, Lord, thank you for hearing our prayers. Even if we do this silently in our hearts while everyone else is saying the prescribed formula, this can build our faith. But we can go even deeper than that to uncover greater faith. Think about the word our in Lord, hear our prayer. How much weight do you give to the fact that it is your prayer? What if you turned that upside down and thought about it as God's prayer being spoken through you? God's prayer being spoken through your lips, through your heart, through your mind, through your soul. Suddenly, the effectiveness of the prayer seems so much greater, doesn't it? You see, prayer, real prayer, is communion with God. It's a form of union with God, or it should be. It's communication. Notice how these words all tie together. Communion, communication. Prayer should be a form of experiencing union with God, even communion of the Eucharist. The Eucharist is Christ's real presence in the form of bread and wine. Prayer is Christ's real presence in your communication with God. You see, every prayer should be a Eucharistic experience because it involves Christ. It involves union with Christ. It involves communion with God. So when we are praying for others, we should be conscious of the fact that Jesus is in the midst of our communication with God the Father. Jesus in the Eucharist is in the midst of our communication with the Father. Jesus is the true intercessor. We are simply being his voice here on earth whenever we pray, whenever we pray for others. And you know how very much Jesus cares about each and every person for whom you are praying. He died for them. Of course he will do everything else possible for them if it will help them in any good way. In fact, he's already doing something. It is impossible for Christ to sit idly by when someone needs his help. Think about the people in Scripture whom Jesus healed. Remember how often he would spend the night away from everyone out in the desert to be alone with the Father praying. What do you think he was saying to the Father during all that time alone with him? I can imagine that he was praying for those that he would be ministering to the next day. I can also imagine that as he was walking down the road and spotted people up ahead who needed healing, he wasn't just carrying on a conversation with his apostle buddies. I think he noticed them, and he said a silent prayer for them. Because he already cared about them deeply and profoundly before they ever asked for his help. I think it's very likely that he even prayed for their openness to be healed. And I think it's very likely that some of the people who approached Jesus asking for help had the courage and faith to do so because he had prayed for them in advance. He already cared about them, and he knew that God the Father already cared about them. And he knew that their faith was weak, or maybe even non-existent up to that point. Why wouldn't he spend time silently praying for them to be open to the healing that he wanted to give them? God cares more about those for whom you are praying than you do. We should be conscious of the fact that when we pray for others, we are in union with God's love for them. This gives us great hope and encourages us to know that our prayer time is never wasted. Even if nothing else happens, which is quite possible due to the free will of those for whom we are praying, You know, if their free will gets in the way of God's will in their lives, our prayers for them are not going to get answered, or at least right not then, right? Not right away. But our prayer time is not wasted because we are experiencing union with God. No prayer is ever wasted when it's union with God. All union with God is valuable and worthy of our time. So why then do we feel that praying for others does not make enough of a difference? Why do we think our prayers are inadequate? Well, we need to realize that the reason why we feel inadequate in making a difference with our prayers is because we indeed are inadequate, very inadequate, completely inadequate. Our words have no power. Our words have no power, no matter what we say in our prayer. Even if we use "in the name of Jesus," our words have no power. Even if we pray the rosary, even if we pray a novena of rosaries, our words have no power. Only God's word has power. This is why if we pray with Scripture, using the words of Scripture and making that part of our prayer, we are bringing power into our prayer because it's God's word that has power. Our prayer efforts have no power over God. And this is where we often, so often, go astray. We think we are trying to change God's mind about something. We try to use prayers to control God. We may not be conscious of the fact, but watch your words. Look at the prayer that I had you do earlier in this podcast when I told you to pause the podcast. Was there anything in that prayer that was an attempt, consciously or unconsciously, to control God? Our prayer efforts have no power over God. Not even if we fast all day and stay on our knees all day in prayer. We have no power over God. Anytime we have the idea or even the inkling of an idea that our prayers have power over God, we need to repent. It is undermining the effectiveness of our prayers. Prayer is not about changing God's mind, as if God's mind needs to be changed. I think the reason why we feel that our prayers are meant to change God's mind and motivate Him into action is because we've been taught that if we pray, we make a difference. And this is a true teaching, but it's not we who make the difference. Our sacrifice of time that we put into the prayer contributes to the difference, but it is God who makes the difference. And I'm going to explain that further in a minute. Scripture is full of evidence that we are called to pray, and we are called to be persistent in prayer, and we are called to trust God with our prayer requests. Even Jesus himself said that if we pray, fully believing, whatever we ask for, we will receive. For example, my favorite scripture on this is John chapter 14, verse 12. But we must understand that Jesus was not telling us to control God. When he says, "Whatever you ask in my name, you shall receive," he was not telling us to control God. When he told us to pray in his name to God the Father, he was not giving us magic words that would force God to obey us, because that's demonic thinking. When Satan worshipers cast spells, what they're doing, their spells are a form of prayer meant to control demons. A true Christian prayer is not about control. It's not about controlling the other person we're praying for. It's not about controlling God. It's not about controlling anything. It's a prayer of submitting ourselves and our desire into God's control, into God's care, letting Him decide what to do with the situations that we are praying about. But oops, did you catch the mistake I just made? I said, letting Him decide, as if He needs our permission. He's going to decide whether we let Him or not, you know? How dare we assume that we have any authority over God by letting him decide what to do with our prayer requests? It's time to repent again. It's true that God often waits upon us before answering our prayers. He waits for us to humble ourselves and spend time in prayer before he will act on something. Very often, that's what he's waiting for. He could take action as soon as he sees a need, but he, in his great generosity, prefers to be collaborative. We are the body of Christ on earth. We are supposed to be united to Jesus, being Jesus on this earth as intercessors. God is not a dictator. He wants us to bring our prayer requests to him. He is not a magic genie. He is not a divine entity who works alone and wants to have control over everything. What he wants is a collaborative relationship with us, in which we humbly submit ourselves to the need to pray in union with his love for the people for whom we are praying. He wants us to spend time with him discussing whatever makes us feel concerned enough to pray about any situation that needs divine intervention. He likes us to have conversations with him about it. He wants us to, if we feel like, you know, grumbling about something, complaining about something, he wants us to take that to him, to unload it onto him, unburden ourselves onto him, and then turn that into trusting him. Take another look again at the prayer that you made early in this podcast. In it, is there any indication that you tried to control God? Is there any indication that you lacked trust in God's caring about the situation, about his concern for the people that you are lifting up in prayer? How would you rewrite this prayer to make it a truly and fully holy prayer? By turning it into a prayer of thanksgiving. For example, you could pray this way. Father God, I am concerned about my friend who is ill. I lift this friend up to you, into your care, and I thank you for what you are already doing in his life and what you are planning to do. I lift him up to you as an act of my love, in union with Christ's love for my friend. Amen. You see, intercessory prayer is about lifting others up to the Lord. Many people do not lift themselves up to the Lord, so in our love for them, we need to do it for them. Everyone who is in a good relationship with God already and is lifting themselves up into his hands, they also need our prayer support. They benefit when we lift the weight of their concerns up to the Lord with them. Intercessory prayer is all about lifting others up to the Lord. None of us are close enough to God yet to be in full union with him, not until we get to heaven. Therefore, we need to be in constant prayer, lifting ourselves and lifting others up to the Lord. And that brings me to another question. How do we pray constantly? How is it possible? There are so many responsibilities and activities and people needing our attention. We can't be on our knees in prayer all day, but we can be in a state of prayer all day. The state of prayer is simply an attitude of trusting God and knowing, even while we're not thinking about it, that God cares and is active. He's not sitting idly by when divine intervention is needed. The state of prayer is also an openness to the movement of the Holy Spirit within us, telling us to pray, telling us when to pray, what to pray. We can be busy doing our normal activities, and if we have a good relationship with the Holy Spirit, we suddenly become aware of a nudging within our spirit, our own spirit, to pray for someone or to pray about something that Christ is already praying about. Remember, Christ is already praying, and we are putting ourselves into union with Him when we choose to intercede for others. The Holy Spirit calls us to join Christ in praying. The Holy Spirit gives us the words to pray or the knowledge of what to pray for. If we have a good, personal, active, alive relationship with the Holy Spirit, we even receive supernatural knowledge about what to pray for. Remember the question that I asked at the very beginning of this podcast? What if, while driving down the road, you say a prayer for every person you see along the way? Every driver, every family in the other cars, the man walking into the store, the people at the gas station, everyone you see. Surely they do all need your prayers. They all would benefit from you lifting them up to the Lord. And this can be a great spiritual exercise to do every time you are traveling. The question is not, would your prayers really make a difference? No, the real question is, what is the Holy Spirit placing on your heart? I like to do this when I'm in an airplane. The first time it occurred to me to pray for every passenger on the plane, I felt ashamed that I had never thought of doing this before. After a quick but heartfelt prayer of repentance, I began to pray for all those on board. And as I did so, the Holy Spirit began to reveal to me how much darkness was in the souls of many of the people there. I knew immediately that many of them had no one else praying for them. They had no one in their lives who had the kind of relationship with Jesus Christ that would make them realize that they should be praying for them. I could feel the pain of their lack of knowing who Jesus is, and that He died for them, and that they need to turn their lives over to Him. It was a pain that they did not recognize, a pain deep in their souls. And because they did not understand this pain or recognize what this pain was trying to tell them, they projected it onto other situations. Like, you know, the spouse that they were getting divorced from, or the boss at work, or if they were a boss, the employee who wasn't doing everything right, or they projected it into their need for alcohol. They projected it into their unhappiness with life, or they projected it onto the people who are Christians, telling them that they need to change their lives. And so as I sat in my seat, I stood in the gap for them, lifting their pains up to the Lord, lifting their souls up to the Lord, offering up my own discomforts for their sake. You know, a plane seat can be very uncomfortable, especially after you've been sitting there for a while and your legs have become cramped in the tiny space allotted to you. My back was aching and my legs were restless, and this became part of my prayer offering for all of those on the plane who were suffering from a lack of friendship with Christ. I could feel the darkness. In fact, I could just about see the darkness, and I could feel the emptiness and the pain of that emptiness, and this became my motivation for lifting them all up, everybody on the plane, even those who know Christ. You know, I ended up lifting up everybody to the Lord who was on that plane. You know, you don't have to do this one by one. I just said, Lord, all these people who do not know You, I lift them up to You. All the people who are in the middle of getting divorced, I lift them up to You. All the people who are out of work and they're angry at their situation and they're blaming someone else for it, or all the people who are thinking about committing suicide in their anger, and so forth. You know, you just go with what the Holy Spirit places on your heart to pray. This is lifting them up to the Lord. It doesn't matter that I will never know if my prayers made any difference on that airplane. Someday in heaven I might find out, but that's not important. I knew what the Holy Spirit was showing me. And when we are in communication with the Holy Spirit, there's a kind of knowing that the prayers are not wasted. The prayers do make a difference. Every moment that someone is lifted up to the Lord, they receive some kind of a blessing. It is impossible for someone to be in the presence of God and not to be blessed. And this is what intercessory prayer accomplishes. We lift them up into the presence of the Lord, and they are blessed by it. Who knows? Only God knows what else will happen as a result of us lifting people up in prayer. But at least we know that they will be blessed by it because we have placed them into the presence of God. And that, my friend, is what intercessory prayer really is. It is lifting people up to the Lord, knowing that they will be blessed. And for this, we are very thankful. We are not thankful that we've been able to make a difference. No, that's putting it all about us again. We are thankful that God is already making a difference. We are thankful that He already cares. We are thankful that He drew that person to our attention because He cares about them. And we realize that we are blessed and honored by God to be chosen to join Jesus in being intercessors. How's your relationship with the Holy Spirit? To be effective intercessors where we can be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is guiding us in lifting them up for. What kinds of pains they have that we should be lifting up to the Lord? What kinds of needs they have that we should be lifting up to the Lord? What kind of darkness they have in their souls that we should be lifting them up into the Lord to free them from, to lift them up out of the darkness, if even for a moment, into the blessings of God? To be able to do this, we need to have an active, alive, anointed relationship with the Holy Spirit. So pray this prayer with me. Come, Holy Spirit, renew me. Come, Holy Spirit, fill me. Come, Holy Spirit, use me. Make me your instrument of intercessory prayer, lifting people up to the Lord with Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit, give me an anointing that helps me to know how to pray, when to pray, for whom to pray. Come, Holy Spirit, you have my permission to change me. Amen. This podcast was made possible by supporters of Good News Ministries who hope to strengthen and build your faith. If this episode speaks to your heart, then I ask you to pass it along to your family and friends. Share it on Facebook and Twitter. Forward it by text and email. And let us know what the Holy Spirit is doing in your life. How has this episode made a difference? You can contact me through the Good News Ministries website at gnm.org or by texting me if you are one of our subscribers on WhatsApp. May I ask a favor of you? Please cover this life-changing podcast ministry in your daily prayers. And if you can, help me continue making these podcasts by becoming a sponsor. Any donation is helpful, but we are especially seeking sponsors for upcoming episodes.
You've been listening to Terry Modica of Good News Ministries. For more faith builders, or to learn more about this ministry, come visit our website at gnm.org. You'll find online resources and lots more to help you know the Father's love and grow closer to Christ and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Visit gnm.org today.